Right, so today's deep dive is all about, well, where climate action meets capital markets. We're looking at ethical lending and green mortgages, specifically in Australia's huge residential property market. What is it, nearly $12 trillion?
That's right, $11.8 trillion. And it's part of a much bigger global picture. Think over $10 trillion in sustainable debt issued worldwide.
Wow. Okay, so let's try and cut through some of the noise here,
Yeah.
because green seems to mean a couple of different things in this space.
Yeah, that's really the absolute critical point to grasp first. You've got to separate the lender's ethics, what we call the lender screen, from the actual greenness of the house itself, the asset screen.
Okay, lender screen versus asset screen. Tell me more about the lender screen first.
Sure. So the lender screen is about the bank or financial institution itself. What's their overall stance? Are they funding, say, high-impact sectors?
Like fossil fuels.
Exactly. So you might have a lender like Bank Australia, which explicitly says, we don't finance coal, gas, oil extraction. But then you look at some of the major Aussie banks, and their track record shows tens of billions funneled into fossil fuels just between, what was it, 2016 and 2023. So the institution's own activities can seem, well, at odds with a green product label sometimes.
Right. So they might offer you a green mortgage product, but the bank itself is still heavily invested elsewhere. That sounds like a potential conflict for borrowers.
It is. It's probably the defining tension in this market right now, because the other side, the asset screen, that just looks purely at the house. How energy efficient is it?
And that's what determines the actual green mortgage rate discount.
Precisely. The asset screen links the interest rate directly to the home's performance. So you, the person taking out the loan, might find the very best green mortgage rate comes from a big bank.
That also has a large fossil fuel portfolio.
Exactly. So you face this choice.
Yeah.
Do you go for the best rate for your efficient home, or do you prioritize the overall ethical stance of the lender? It's a personal decision, really.
Okay, that clarifies the core dilemma. Let's switch gears to how this is all measured. I mean, how do lenders actually verify a home is green enough and avoid just, greenwashing?
Yeah, verification is key. The main tool here is the Nationwide House Energy Rating Scheme, NAHERS. That's the standard.
Gaithers, right. I've heard of that. It gives stars, doesn't it?
It does. A rating from 1 to 10 stars based on the home's thermal performance, how much heating or cooling it needs. And the magic number, the threshold you need to hit for most of these discounted green mortgages.
Let me guess, 7.
Close. It's actually 7.5 stars or higher. That's the benchmark for products like, say, Great Southern Bank's Green Home Offer.
Okay, 7.5 stars. Why that specific number? Why not just 7?
Good question. It's tied to regulations. You see, minimum standards for new builds have been rising. For instance, in New South Wales, the Basics Rules, that's the Building Sustainability Index, they were updated
When was that?
October 2023. And they pushed the minimum requirement for new homes up to 7 stars.
I see. So lenders want proof you're going above the basic legal minimum.
Precisely. Requiring 7.5 stars shows the loan is genuinely rewarding better than average performance, not just baseline compliance. That extra half star really represents tangible efficiency gains.
Okay, so for you, the borrower, hitting 7.5 stars unlocks the lower rate and means lower running costs. Let's talk about the bottom line, the actual dollars and cents.
Absolutely. Look, adding the necessary green features up front, things like better insulation, maybe solar panels, double glazed windows, yes, it might add a bit to your monthly mortgage repayment. We're talking maybe $38 to $84 a month extra.
Okay, a small increase. But the savings.
That's where it gets compelling. Those features lead to a pretty dramatic drop in energy use. Think 56% to 60% reduction.
Wow.
Yeah. And that reduction translates directly into monthly savings on your utility bills, around $90 to $140 a month based on current analysis.
So hang on, even with the slightly higher mortgage payment, you're actually saving money overall each month.
Correct. You're in a net positive cash flow situation from day one. And that's before you even apply the discounted interest rate from the green mortgage itself. It's a powerful financial case.
It really is. But you mentioned greenwashing earlier. How tight are the rules around claiming these savings?
Very tight and getting tighter. ASIC, the securities regulator, is watching closely. They demand that any claims lenders make about future savings have to be based on reasonable grounds.
Raining.
Meaning you can't just pluck numbers out of the air. You need that verified NAHERS data, often backed up by third-party analysis, to prove the calculations. No proof, no claim.
Right. Accountability is built in via NAHERS. Okay, final thought then. If the financial case is so strong and the market is growing, Why is this green finance stuff mostly limited to brand new houses, ones less than a year old?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Or maybe the multi-trillion-dollar question for the existing housing stock.
So why is that?
It boils down to one thing. Data. Or rather, the lack of it. New builds have to get a NIDHR certificate. It's mandatory. So lenders have reliable, standardized data.
But older homes don't.
Exactly. Most established houses have never had a proper energy assessment using that same NAIDR scale. There's no standard data point for lenders to work with.
So the big hurdle for expanding green mortgages to retrofits to the vast majority of homes out there
is solving that data gap. We need a way to assess and rate existing homes reliably and cost-effectively. The moment we crack that, you'll see this market truly take off for renovations and older properties. That's the next frontier.